Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes, reporting for duty here on a Wednesday night for your Thursday delivery. We got a fun show planned. Kind of not the route that I wanted to go, but not a bad thing, folks, because we got a couple guests. We're going back to booking some guests here on the show like we've always done. It's just that we've had to kind of do a little bit of adapting. But on today's show, we're going to talk to Saeed Yakub Kakhramonov. He's going to be fighting Brian Kelleher on the first card of the year. It's a UFC fight night. That happens on January 15th, so we're a little bit more than a week away. It's the same card that's headlined by Calvin Kattar and Giga Chikadze. Also from that card, Brandon Royval versus Rogério Bontorin. We'll talk to Royval. He, of course, is one of the top flyweights in the world. Now, here's where we're going a little bit different. I wanted to go over some of the awards that MMA Junkie had put out, but they're still kind of putting them out. So we'll do that on Sunday night / Monday show. And what I really want to do is kind of bring you up to date with all the fight bookings that have taken place in the last 24, 48 hours. There's some real, real good ones. I want to go over that, and I want to kind of lay out what the cards look like because they're all piling up, folks. UFC 270, 271, 272, 273. They're piling up nicely, and they have destinations. So do a couple fight nights. And, of course, we'll give you a lot of reminders for January 22nd, it's a UFC 270 watch-along. Myself, Goes, and the team will give you details on that. So first things first, Goes, we're obviously up and running. Since last month, we got back to the watch-along game. And you and I are continuing on January 22nd, live from Anaheim, California. It's UFC 270. Goes and I are going to do a watch-along for that. But now we kind of have an expanded package of what fans can expect from the MMA Junkie team.
Yeah, we teased it a little bit, I think, on the last watch-along. There's so many new bells and whistles and stuff that the Panda team has put together. But now we're going to offer almost like a whole day of programming for this event. We're going to have a pre-show and we're going to have a post-fight show.
Yep. And when we have the exact details, meaning the exact start times, we'll kind of fill you in and let you know. But at least start bookmarking January 22nd. Hang out with us just like you did in December. A lot of you guys and gals came strong and we had a nice showing on our return to the watch-along game. But yeah, the Junkie team is going to assist with a pre-fight show. It'll be before our watch-along. It'll be followed by the watch-along itself, and then we'll have a post-fight show to wrap things up. So we're going to be with you guys throughout the day on the 22nd. Now, we do have a couple of guests, but let's squeeze in a few news nuggets in between. What I want to do is lay it out this way. UFC 270 is the card happening on the 22nd that I just talked about. Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane. Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo. A couple big fights to look out for. Movsar Evloev versus Ilia Topuria. Those are two top featherweights. Greg Hardy versus Alexei Oleinik. I believe they're both at American Top Team, so a couple teammates fighting there. They're probably like top 10, top 15 heavyweights. Cody Stamann versus Saeed Nurmagomedov. Vivian Araujo versus Alexa Grasso. And so some of those are, those are some of the top fights from that card. UFC 271, if you haven't heard, is Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker. The UFC is headed back to the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas for this one. So far, another fight that's been booked is Kyler Phillips versus Marcelo Rojo. Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell, Vince Pichel versus Mark Madsen, Roxanne Modafferi versus Casey O'Neill. Now, here's where one of the big stories kind of broke. All respect to Alexander Hernandez and Renato Moicano, they're also on the card. But Dustin Poirier is saying that he signed a bout agreement, or He has given the okay to face Nate Diaz on short notice. Of course, I got excited because I thought they meant Anaheim. Are they headed to Anaheim? Because that would be a nice 1-2-3 punch with the two title fights and then Poirier versus Nate Diaz. But I think that's too soon. I don't think that's what they were talking about. I think the one they want to fill in on is UFC 271, which is still kind of fairly short notice, but it's more than a month away. Except Nate Diaz is kind of, you know, killing this a little bit. He's saying that he doesn't want to do it. Or maybe he hasn't completely signed on. But all the teasing leads me to believe that this is likely.
You know, maybe I'm weird. Trust me, I'll watch it if it happens. But I'm not that fired up about it. Like, I'm not too invested in this rivalry that they have. It's just it's a decent fight for me. But it's not one that makes me go crazy. Now, if you would have thrown it on Anaheim, do that. Just like when you're letting your money go for a pay-per-view, an extra fight like that is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But overall, I just think it's going to be a good fight, but I'm not going crazy over it.
Wow, tough to please, goes.
You are?
All right. Well, here's how I look at it. UFC 271 is still lacking. It needs some names. And I know they're told to be ready and stuff like that, but the fight card takes place one day before the Super Bowl. So February 12th, Super Bowl's February 13th. That gives them about 5 weeks away. So I look at it as that card needs help is one. Two, Diaz doesn't fight very often. So the fact that he wants to fight, you know, fairly soon, even though the fight with versus Leon Edwards was more than half of a year ago, he wants to fight again. Okay. Plus, I kind of want to either like, hey, man, is this brother a part of the UFC? Or just let him go and let him go make money somewhere else. I don't know. He kind of hijacks storylines and divisions between his messing around at welterweight and lightweight. And I get it. He's a gangster. Much respect. I like Nate Diaz. I like Nick Diaz. I think they're legends of the sport. But sometimes I do get mad at the act of like, well, where are they? You know, what do they do for us in the end? You know, they do fill a card. I enjoy watching them fight. But it's such a long process to get them into this damn cage that sometimes the time in between is what sucks. Now, with Dustin Poirier, you know, he just had a heartbreak. He just lost the big fight. So the fact that he wants to get in there and do it soon, I'm kind of into it, man. His fights just don't suck. Neither do Nate Diaz's. And that's what makes me excited is that it'll be a fun fight to watch.
But what does it solve? What does it tell us? I don't know that it does much. I mean, it's just going to be fun to watch. Don't get me wrong.
They just fight like once a year, though, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, man, that part sucks.
I don't know. I guess there's a part of me that looks at it as these just two guys that just want to get paid, you know? And I hate to say this, but almost like neither one of them really cares if they lose, you know? If they lose, all right, they made a nice little paycheck here.
Let's be jerks about this. If Nate Diaz fights and loses, or wins, he may be out of the UFC, right? One thing's for sure, we won't have to be on the following week spinning back click going, you know, Connor still has that trilogy bout against Diaz. At least that ship sails.
Unless he could always re-sign.
Unless Connor goes and chases him down somewhere, it sails. Well, yeah, I mean, the eventuality of him fighting it through and going somewhere else, whether he fights Jake Paul or goes to Bellator or whatever, at least we move on from some things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I guess a little bit.
You still with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree for the most part.
All right. Let's go to the next one. UFC 272. Here's some fights that have been in the last few hours booked. Excuse me. Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. This is the third edition. Volkanovski's 2-0. Many say it's 1-1, but officially it's 2-0. Except Max Holloway has looked good since his second loss to Alexander Volkanovski. So not too many people have a problem with this trilogy bout, even though, again, it's 2-0 Volkanovski.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, even if you do have a problem with it, what are you going to do that's better? You know, I got to give Alexander Volkanovski a lot of credit. That dude kind of won me over a little bit on The Ultimate Fighter and some interviews that we've done with him. He just kind of goes with the flow. And I think subconsciously, there is a part of him that wants to prove everybody wrong. You know, if we just look at the record books, he's 2-0 against the guy. We don't need a third fight, right? But I think a lot of people felt like Max might have won that second fight. And I think deep down inside, that probably bothers Volkanovski a little bit. And who knows? Maybe he does. Maybe he believes it too. But just him doing this, I think I can probably name off some champs in the past that wouldn't do something like this. Everything about this Volkanovski guy, man, I kind of dig. I love his attitude. You know you're going to get an honest fight out of him. But I'll tell you what, man, Max Holloway, every time you think you kind of count him out, that dude, I think, is still getting better. I think he's found something within himself, another drive. And I'm definitely going to tune into this fight, even though I told you guys this year, you're going to hear a lot of rematches, man. It's going to be nonstop. So I really do hope the UFC gives us some fresh matchups to go with it.
You know, Volkanovski's won 20 in a row. In the UFC, he's never lost. He's 23-1 overall. It's taken a while for him to get that respect. You know how athletes in the last 2 or 3 years, they want that respect? I feel like this is the fight that'll ultimately, you know, be there for him. Because, yeah, everybody feels like, well, it's 1-1 versus Max. Well, you came at a time when McGregor left for 55. Aldo slowed down. Every excuse you can think of. But in reality, he's been a stud, you know. And you're right. He did win me over a little bit on The Ultimate Fighter. And by the way, whoever Corey Nelson is, I hope that guy retired right after beating Alexander Volkanovski 20 fights ago. This fight took place in May of 2013, so about 8-9 years ago. He's the only guy to ever give Volkanovski a loss. And he finished him, TKO, so a little bit of bragging rights to that guy.
One day we're going to have to go through the names of those type of fighters and see who the most famous ones. Like the girl that gave Cyborg her loss, I think it was like her first fight, yeah, right, of her career.
Yeah.
There's TK, right, who defeated Fedor. There's a couple of them out there.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Harold Howard.
So those would be the big fights, you know, that we kind of, I guess, knew they were coming, but now they're official, announced by the UFC. You got those title fights. They also gave us Bryce Mitchell versus Edson Barbosa, Jessica Ai versus Manon Fioron, Marina Morales versus Maria Agapova, Michael Oleg, where's John Anik? Michael Oleg Sinichuk versus Dustin Jacoby. I got a buddy that calls him Dustin Jacoby. Kind of cracked me up. I don't want to correct him, though. Tim Elliott versus Tagir Ulanbekov. Those are two top flyweights. And then here's a decent one that snuck in under the radar. Yan Xiaonan versus Marina Rodriguez. Yan Xiaonan is
very a panda.
Yeah, that's a panda fighter right there. And now we get to UFC 272, which is starting, or sorry, 273 is starting to fill up. That one's, and if I may, actually, 272 will take place in Las Vegas. So it goes Anaheim for 270. That's Francis Ngannou and Brandon Moreno. 271 goes to Houston, Texas. That's Izzy versus Whitaker and possibly Nate versus Dustin. 272 is back in Vegas on March 5th at the T-Mobile Arena. That's Volkanovski and Sterling defending. Did I even say Sterling? Sorry. Sterling versus Peter Yan's official. Any thoughts there? I mean, we kind of been waiting on that one, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I can't remember where we spoke about this, but I feel like we already saw I know the ending is not what everybody wanted, but it just felt like we know what the ending is going to be to this one. I mean, unless Aljamain Sterling completely changes his approach, has to get
slow down that pace.
Yeah, there's just so many things. It doesn't interest me.
He fought the first round like it was, you know, a one-round fight or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they'll rematch, and I'm sure he at least kind of has a blueprint of what not to do and what to do, and I think that'll help him. The one thing I've gathered from covering Aljo is he's kind of cerebral. He makes corrections. Okay. he doesn't have too much of an ego to think, well, that's just the way it is, and that's the way I dance. Lastly, UFC 273 has a date. It's April 9th, our mom's birthday. It's in Brooklyn, New York. Now, there's only one fight that's been set for that. It's Aspen Ladd versus Irene Aldana. I guess the most important bit of news, no disrespect to the ladies, is we already know the UFC's headed to Brooklyn, New York. They haven't been there in about 3 years. They've been to Madison Square Garden, but they haven't been back to the Barclays since Cejudo versus Dillashaw. So they'll be back over there for that fight. And that's the fight that Dillashaw wound up testing positive and for EPO. And that cost him eventually a 2-year suspension. He's since come back. He's got a win over Corey Sandhagen, but he's kind of chilling right now while he, I guess, got nicked up with a knee injury. So that's kind of an update of what the big fight cards are looking like. If you go to the schedule on MMA Junkie, you'll see other fights that have been filled in because there's tons of fight nights. And there's a few Bellator fights that have also been getting booked. So all that can be seen on MMA Junkie. But if you want to go straight to the schedule, just go to schedule on MMA Junkie and you'll see some of the other big matchups. Joanna Jędrzejczyk goes. She's kind of teasing that it's her versus Zhang Weili part two. We don't know when, but I'm excited for that one. Joanna's been gone for 2 years.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see her back, but I'm actually excited to see this rematch again. I remember we even broke this down a second time. I mean, this was a great fight.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what. Our first interview is ready to go. We are going to be talking to Saeed Yakub Kakamarov, who's going to be facing Brian Kelleher here on January 15th in the first fight night of the year. Junkie Nation, Gorgeous George and Goes are back. It's our first interview of the year, and we're delighted to talk to UFC bantamweight Saeed Yakub Kakramanov, who is going to be fighting Brian Kelleher on the first fight night card of the year, January 15th. Welcome, Saeed Yakub. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for asking. We're doing well, and we're excited to talk to you, man. You know, it seems like I was looking at an article last year of so many fighters, that retired in 2021. And, you know, that's just the sport. Sometimes it happens in a way where you miss it, but then you get excited about the new crop, which is obviously, you know, obviously that would include yourself. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you was, if you look at your record, you had a couple decisions early on, and they say that the fights, you know, as you keep going in your career, get tougher. But even though your competition's gotten tougher, those finishes are coming. That's awesome. Like, what do you attribute that to?
Well, obviously, in the beginning, I was still new in the sport. You know, I was still learning the sport. You know, I was only my first 8 fight, including my amateur fight, which is 3 and 5 pro fights. Everything happened within, like, 12 or 13 months, you know, I was still new in the game. I'm still using my grappling to finish the fight. You know, I didn't have a lot of tools. And eventually, you know, you learn and get better and get better. And then I feel like I learned, I've been learning better and then, you know, trying to finish the fights.
You made your UFC debut and you got yourself a win. And now you got Brian Kelleher. And I think that's really, really good because he's a recognizable name for sure. Were you excited about the matchup?
I'm really excited. You know, I cannot wait to be there with him on Saturday night. I'm very, very excited. This will, you know, put my name on top and then, you know, more people will recognize me. I'm very excited to fight him.
Exactly. I'm glad you recognize that because a lot of times younger fighters, when they get the benefit of fighting a fighter who's had who's had a name, you beat them and all of a sudden it's like you steal everything they own in a way.
This is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to steal everything that he has. And then I'm looking forward to fight him. You know, I'm really excited.
You can submit people, but you've also been striking a lot lately. Now that you've got it a little bit of a taste of both a few times, do you crave both types of finishes the same or do you have a preferred method with how you end fights?
No, I don't have a I don't prefer anything. Whatever comes, you know, striking, submissions, wrestling, you know, whatever the fight goes, I'm okay with it. Yeah.
And would you say, like, so the situation that you're in, a lot of fighters or a lot of people in our industry, we feel like we haven't seen a lot of you. I don't know that we've seen the true version of you because, you know, you've gotten short notice before. I feel like there's still a lot we need to see of your game. Do you like that? You know, your opponent probably feels the same, right?
Definitely, yeah. Even that's how I feel too. I haven't seen my, I haven't even reached my peak yet. You know, I don't even know what I can do yet. You know, there's a lot to learn. You know, I'm still young in the game. And then I have a same question to myself. You know, I still want to see what I can do out there, you know? I ask the same question to myself. I haven't even seen what I can do. But I know that I can. I have a good skills. I have a lot of skills. I just have to put them together and then just keep showing the world what I can do.
When people ask you that don't know about the sport and they ask you what you do and how you fight, is there a particular fighter that you could point to that you could say, I enjoyed watching this person grow up in the sport and my style is somewhat close to this?
Not really. You know, I watch a lot of fighters. There's obviously there's a lot of good fighters. Like, you know what I mean? I watched everybody. I mean, I can't really put in names, but I don't think anybody has my style because, I mean, even you look at my last fight, within the first minute of a fight, I confused the guy. Like, he hasn't seen like things like that I did to him. You know, that throw, that choke, like he was confused as fuck.
For this particular fight coming up, I know you can't.
I don't think anybody has my style. That's how I think.
I know that you can't really reveal what it is you're going to do exactly in this next coming fight. But when you think about it in your mind, what are some things that you see that you would like to accomplish in the fight?
I want to punch him in the face and see how it feels. I really want to, like, you really want to feel that feeling of punching somebody in the face and then just see how it feels. You know, that's the main thing that I'm looking forward to.
Saeed, can you tell us, Saeed Yacoub, excuse me, can you tell us, please, in your gym, who are some of the training partners that give you some of the best rounds, the ones that you can say, hey, you know, this guy, this gal, they've made me better?
You know, every single one of them gives me a different look. And then I would say we have this kid, his name is Yuma. He's from Japan. He's a 125er. This kid is a monster. Like, he will be in the UFC soon. I mean, this guy, he did help me a lot. He did teach me a lot, not by, like, teaching me, by, like, sometimes whooping my ass, you know what I mean? It happens in the gym. You know, as a man, you got to accept that. Like, this kid is an amazing fighter. I learned a lot from him. I would say he does give me good work, and I have Luis Smolka. He gives me good work, different look. I have Alex Perez, which is a very tough wrestler that doesn't even get tired and always pushing me forward. There's a lot of good competition in my gym.
Well, that's great to hear. And again, this is our first interview of 2022, and I'm glad it was with you. I wanted to hear a fresh name, you know, at least in our, as far as for us, you know, this is the first time we've communicated. Plus, yeah, we're SoCal guys. Goz and I are originally from the mean streets of Santa Ana, and I know you guys are in that area. So it was great to talk here. To Saeed Yacoub, thank you very much for your time today. Good luck on the 15th. We'll be tuning in.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you. Nice fella. That's Saeed Yacoub, huh?
I think he's a kid to look out for. He's pretty promising from what I hear. And I mean, we've only seen a little bit of him, but I like the things that he says, and I think it'll be a good fight. But Brian Kelleher is tough, man. That's a tough cat.
That's his second fight, Brian Kelleher, and Brian Kelleher is a known commodity, so that could be big for Saeed Yacoub. And, you know, he sounds like he's ready to go. He's got some killers that he says he trains with like Luis Smolka and Alex Perez down in Orange County, where we're from, over there as part of Team Oyama. Carlos Barza is there as well. I think Marlon Vera dips in between there and working out with Jason Perillo, so... he's in good hands, and it was fun chatting with him. That was our first time with him, and we wish him the best of luck. That's a tough fight, though. Brian Kelleher's a tough fight.
Very tough.
All right, Goz. So then, aside from that, you know, this thing with Jake Paul and Dana White kind of cooled down, and I'm kind of happy to hear that. I kind of kept bracing myself to see if there was yet another comeback or anything like that, but it looks like that's finally going away.
Yeah, that's a good move on Dana White's part. And that kind of just, it's not so much a Dana White thing. It's an everybody's thing. Like, just stay away from really going at it with this Jake Paul and Logan Paul. That's their world, man. You don't need it.
Although George Masvidal chimed in, he thanked the boss for sticking up for him, but then he also reminded him that he's 4 years late to the party. You know, Masvidal feels like he was a star, or at least he had star quality, just wasn't promoted right up until that great 2019 that he had. Till, Askren, Diaz. Remember 3-0? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say, I would go as far as saying that still continues. Like, I still think Jorge Masvidal could be marketed a little better.
I agree. Definitely. Darren Till got knocked off Instagram, goes. I think he had 2 million followers. Now he's just sticking to Twitter. And I think Sean Strickland had some compassion for him because he either is going the other way or sticking around at Twitter, but he hasn't had too much luck on social media. Now, both of these cats have to look in the mirror and realize that they do put up some bullshit from time to time. And by that, I mean not lies, but, you know, like stuff that crosses the line for some.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, whether you agree with whatever Instagram's rules are, you got to follow them if you want to be on Instagram, right? So that's just kind of on them. I mean, Twitter's a little bit more, I mean, even Twitter can kind of zap you. But yeah, there's a lot of people that get mad at Instagram, but they still love it. People still go on there. But to be able to get 2 million followers and then just have them disappear like that, God, it's got to sting. I mean, it's got to sting a little bit.
Speaking of Till, Andre Muniz wants to fight either Darren Till or Uriah Hall next. Those are pretty good call-outs. He's had a pretty big year. He was our submission of the year for MMA Junkie, defeating Jacare Souza and Eric Anders. I'm impressed with that guy. I'd love to see him against either one of those cats.
Darren, but actually both of those guys, man, they rarely, I mean, not that there are easy fights, but pretty much all they face are killers.
Yeah, for sure. How about Carla Esparza? So she goes in there and grapples at the Fury fighting, or I guess it was called Fury Grappling. She subbed in for Rose Namajunas. She did get a little bit of a cut, but I don't think it'll be anything that'll really delay when they may have needed her, because I don't think she was going to fight in February on the same card as Israel Adesanya and Robert Whittaker. I think she's probably more like Brooklyn, New York, or something like that, if I'm guessing. But the point is, she did get nicked up a little bit, and just thank God it's not a shoulder or a knee. You know, was that a good decision on her part, Goose?
I don't know, man. I've kind of gone back and forth on this. This was a topic on Spinning Back Click, and I mean, I guess it's bad luck, you know, that things like this happen. If you look at Cub Swanson and how much time he's lost because of that, it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen, right? And so, like, when you look at contact sports, look at the Pro Bowl, right? In football, they don't run that in the middle of the season. There's a reason why, right? Mm-hmm. This has just happened too many times. But at the same time, it's like if you were to walk into any gym, ATT, Extreme Couture, wherever you want to go, right, Jackson's, on grappling day, it's not like they go less hard, you know, on those days grappling. Like, they do the same thing. So my little rule, I guess, is if I'm a manager and my fighter's in the top 10, I probably say stay away. Don't do this, because you can go from being ranked number 10 to fighting for a title at the end of the year, at the start of the year, if you're ranked number 10. And that's your bread and butter. You know, that MMA is your bread and butter, and that's how you got to survive. So I would probably tell them to stay away from something like that. But anybody else outside of there, I mean, they're actually giving pretty decent paydays in some of these grappling events. So I would definitely do that. And not just that, though, too, George. Another thing is, like, I don't know if I want my opponent to know my grappling forte, you know, like, maybe you want to keep that a surprise.
Yeah, because Rose probably understands that Carla has the wrestling advantage on her. She had some good ground and pound, I remember, in that fight. But she definitely doesn't want to know some secret where Carla's been working on leg locks or whatever, and, you know, tipping your hand in any way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got a couple more news nuggets, and we're going to blast through them, but our next guest is ready to go. So let's talk to Brandon Royval. He's got a big fight coming up against Rogerio Bontarin. It's on the same card as Saeed Yakub Kakhramov, who was a guest of ours earlier. And, yeah, these are flyweights. We talked to a bantamweight already. These are flyweights, and I really like Brandon, so I'm looking forward to chatting it up. We got Brandon Royval with us, UFC flyweight, going to be doing his thing here in a couple weeks. One of the first cards to start the year. In fact, the first card to start the year. He is going to be fighting, of course, another big star, Rogerio Bontarin. What's going on, Brandon? How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Thank you. So, funny how things are kind of changing here a little bit. You know, when you first came on your on the map, one of the first wins that you had was Kaikara France about a year ago or so. And he had to shake off the loss to you, which he did, and included in there was a win over Rogerio Bontarin. Now you're kind of a little bit in the same boat. You want to get back in that W column. Boy, but you know what? That's what makes this flyweight division exciting. Kind of everybody takes a hit here or there, right? It's who can dust themselves off and then, you know, push the other guy down on the way back to the top.
Yeah, the division's super small right now, and I think the division's, like, starting to explode. So, you're going to see a lot of, I think you see quick changes. And I think I'm probably one of the best examples of that, of just having, being a nobody at all. And now I think I'm number five in the world. So it's just crazy to what 1 year really did in my life.
How has it been for you mentally dealing with this? Because you're still a badass. You're still a contender. You still have coveted quality wins, like the one over Kaikara. That's going to benefit you at some point. But how has it been, obviously, shaking off the L's that you had to take?
Yeah. I mean, with the Brandon Moreno one, I think that was like a little bit less of an owl than just, you know, I knew that my shoulder was compromised in that fight. So that sucked. But the Pantoja, and I obviously made mistakes and stuff that I could learn in that fight and things I could take away, of course. But that surgery needed to happen. And as far as that Pantoja fight, I feel like just growing mentally in general is really what the big takeaway and what I've learned and grown from that.
In a way, is it better to maybe, because everybody aspires to be a champion, but when you're a champ, you don't want to just win and then someone bumps you. You kind of want to reign for a while, you know what I mean? So yeah. In a way, are all these just lessons that will make you a better fighter so when the time comes, you can stay up at the top of the mountain longer?
Yeah. And it's like the conversation we're having is like, stay at the top of the mountain. And it's like, if you think about my career and where I've been so far, it's like, I haven't even fought in front of a crowd. I've never walked out like a proper UFC walkout or any of that stuff. So it's like, I think for me is I want at least two fights before before I like get to that title shot. And I think that's more what's needed on it. It's not, I wish I could take the title shot this week, but what's needed is I'm probably going to need to win this fight and then another title contention fight. And then I'll probably be right in the picture for a title match or something even like to that point, you know? So I don't know, man. Got lost.
At the same time, there's great examples just within the UFC alone and just in 2021, even though this is a 2022 fight. But in 2021, look at some of these interesting stories that somehow had a form of a comeback, like Glover Teixeira. You know, he fought for a title once and it didn't go very well. And that was about seven years ago. And then he came back and became a champion. Charles Oliveira, yeah. You know, he has a 10-fight win streak going. But if you'll recall, prior to that, he was going back and forth in divisions, couldn't make weight. He had some adversity as well. As a fighter, you know, like, has it been hard to, or has it been motivating, I guess, to see some of these fighters go take those bumpy roads, like maybe the one you're on right now? Not to harp on it. I apologize. Not to make it sound like, oh, my God, you're in some hole, because you're not. You're a proper contender.
No, I know what it is. And it's cool, too, because, like, thinking back is, like, when Glover Teixeira was coming up and Charles Oliveira, I'm a huge Charles Oliveira fan. I was like, those guys are going to be champions one day. Those guys are going to be champions one day. So it's cool to see it like, turn out to be true. But I think guys like that compared to like a guy that goes on a winning streak and then starts losing all of his fights in a row. I think guys that like Charles Oliveira and Glover Teixeira, and I mean, it sucks to think about this, but I think those are like the real fighters in the sense of like, they're overcoming something, you know, and it sucks to come back from a loss. It sucks to come back from that. I've learned every hard lesson the hardest way possible every time, man. And I feel like I'm the king of that. I'm the king of overcoming these hardships, overcoming these surgeries, overcoming these injuries, overcoming whatever it is, you know. So I've had a lot of bullshit in front of my face and a lot of crap in front of my face. And it's like, I've always dealt with it. And this is just another opportunity to kind of deal with that. And I think that's what makes me a fighter, is I'm going to go back out there, come improved, and learn from these lessons. And I think that's what makes me a fighter particularly. And I think that's what makes me good particularly. And I think that's one of my best attributes I have, is I've never really been good at anything. I've never been like, haven't been like particularly skilled at anything, but it's just like, it made me work hard. And I think that goes into, say, with Glover Teixeira and Charles Oliveira, those are guys I never gave up. And how motivating is that, you know?
Brandon, is there a particular performance in 2021 that you can point to that was motivational, you know, inspirational for you?
And then bring up those two. Those weren't even in my ideal thoughts until you guys brought up those two. As far as motivational, I think that Kai Car France win was huge, you know. I think that was huge for everything, because I remember one time, like, I remember when we were younger, I was going out to fight this fight. I was like 22. I was going out to fight, and I was like asking my coach while we're on this road trip. I'm like, who's like one of the best dudes you've ever seen training? And he's like, Cody Garbrandt. He's like the most skilled, like one of the most like great fighters I've seen, like in like eye to eye. And I just remember kind of holding that true to my head and all that. And it's like, and I'm not dissing on Cody Garbrandt or anything. It's just I held that guy in like a huge pedestal my whole entire career. So it's cool to see some dude that I got in there with and got the better of that time or whatever it is, go out there and fight it. Even though me and Kai Car France carry different skills and different attributes, it was still really cool for me to go see him go out there and go win decisively and all that. And it was motivating. But I thought another cool one and a motivating one and like a motivating one in an exciting way was Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar, where Max Holloway just like brought out a whole new level of fighting. And it was really cool to see. And I thought that was another inspiring, like one of the most exciting fights that I go back and watch as much as possible.
Brandon, do you care when you get to that title shot? Do you care who the champion is at that time? Is there a particular guy that you want to pick off, or is it just about the belt?
No, I could care less, man. Those two, in a sense, man. Like, I feel like it. Brandon Moreno's so wholesome, it's like hard to not root for him no matter what. So it's like, you want to see him do good, and I think he's a great face for the division too. But no, I don't care, man. I want to fight both of them, you know. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I fight for the title, who I don't fight for the title is. I think the correct path for me is to go steamroll Rogerio Bontorin, and then fight the loser of the title fight. I think that's the fight that would make the most sense. That's the fight that gets me out of bed for sure. And before I fight for this belt, man, I gotta fight in front of a crowd somehow. And I think they put Figgy on a crowd card, and Moreno's definitely going on every crowd card too. So it's like, that's what I want. I want to fight the loser of that fight, and it doesn't matter who it is, man, because I want to fight both of them throughout my life, you know.
Do you have a New Year's resolution MMA related and one outside of MMA?
Yeah. My New Year's resolution and my MMA resolution are both the same. A little bit. It's just stay focused. And when I say stay focused, I don't mean like stay focused as in like work harder and all that stuff. It's just I want to go in there with like a sense of purpose. You know what I'm saying? Is every day I want to attack with like with a idea of what I'm about to do, what I'm working on, an IQ level of it. And sometimes I feel like a guy like me, and then you can see it in my fights too. So this is another you can see it in my fights, is I go fight Pantoja, and it's like, sure, I did a million things, man. I worked my ass off, and like I did a million things, but it was like I didn't do one specific thing that I needed to do. I couldn't really slow myself down, you know. And I'm like that in everyday life, you know. You could hear me talking. I talk fast. It's hard to slow me down sometimes. And I do that sometimes in the gym. Is I'll go there. I'll go there with a plan to work on a kick, and then I'll start working on a kick for 2 minutes. And the next, you know, I'm like, oh, that hook to the kick. And the next, you know, I'm doing a whole different workout 100 different times and all that stuff. Is just I think I took this camp specifically, and this whole next year I just focus specifically on what I need to do, and go there with the goal and all that stuff, and just accomplish like little goals, you know. And it's like I don't need to grow in 5 different ways a little bit. I want to grow in one way specifically in one day Like, I don't know. I just want to grow one way, like, big in a day. I want big growth in the day, you know?
So being that the year is 5 years old, sorry, the year is 5 days old, has that resolution stood up? Did you have focus on these last 5 days, like kind of like how you wanted? Did you like raise the bar on yourself?
Yeah, for sure. And the New Year's resolution started like this camp. It was that after Pantoja, I had to realize, I was like, in order to be like a better fighter and a better man and a better person in general, is just, I need to slow myself down and just focus on the details instead of just getting it done, you know? And same thing with like the fight with Pantoja, is if I could have slowed myself down a little bit that second round, is like, I did everything I needed to do that first round. That first round is I weathered the storm, I pushed the pace, I gassed that dude out, and it's like the second round, slow down and then pick him apart and then just win a fight, you know, win a fight methodically and all that stuff. And it was like, I couldn't slow myself down because I don't slow myself down, you know? And I think that's a prime example in life, is just a lot of stuff, a lot of mistakes. Even when I was like a little kid doing homework, is I would rush through something and it's like, oh, I missed it because of that, you know, or A or B or whatever. It's just like me missing a detail or just not reading the question properly or whatever it is. And it's like, if I can slow myself down and pay attention to the details, I think not only will that improve me as a fighter, but it'll improve me as a man, you know?
I was just going to use that exact analogy. Let's just say that January 15th is a final exam or something like this. When you look at the calendar with 10 days left, do you feel like, yep, I'm on par to take that test? Like, yeah, you know, are you ahead of schedule? Are you right where you want to be?
Yeah, we're right where I need to be, man. It's like, I feel like it all just kind of tied together perfectly. I feel like me and Mark and I, for like the last couple camps, have dialed in something that's working really well for me. And, I think we're like getting this down to a science. You know, I've been working with this guy for probably 12 years, and I think he's mastering the sport a little bit, and man, and I get to be a guinea pig of it. So it's great to just be alongside with him learning this stuff and then just kind of mastering the process of all this stuff mastering the process of this, you know?
You know, it's funny that you bring up that the Holloway performance over Cater was, you know, inspiring. That was, I believe, the first card of last year, and yet a lot of us agree with you. Calvin Cater's a stud, but Max Holloway rose to the occasion that night, and that performance held up throughout the whole year because there's so many fights, you tend to forget about stuff like that, you know what I mean? And so when it comes to, like, end-of-the-year awards or end-of-the-year, you know, looking to the future matchmaking, a lot of people use that fight still. Do you hope your fight early in 2022 can hold up like that throughout the year, because this has the ingredients to be a barn burner?
Yeah, for sure. And if it's a barn burner, it's gonna go to me for sure. But man, I want to have a really big 2022 or whatever, or 2022. Yeah, I can't even say that. I just want to have a really big 2022 and I want my next performance to be even bigger. And I want to think of it like what you're saying, is instead of a test. And I've been thinking of it the whole entire time. And this is part of like what I've been trying to dial in with Mark, is I want to think of this as just like a performance, you know. I'm going out there and I want to go out there and put on a performance and all that out there, you know. So, and I want my next performance to be bigger than my last, man. I want year 2022 to be the year of the dog, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be year of the raw dog, and I want to take over that division.
You're definitely a crowd fighter. I know this will be the last time that you're going to fight, you know, in a setting that doesn't have the type of crowd that from the time we saw you fight, from the first time, I could tell right away, this kid's one of that new wave, you know, of the new generation of exciting fighters. We've seen a lot of fights, a lot of fighters, a lot of fight cards. And I know that time's coming, man. I'm glad you're staying positive the way you are.
Yeah, for sure. And like, to me is, I think for one thing that's keeping me positive is, I think there was a skill difference between Pantoja and I think, that technique wise, you could see there is what you're saying. There's a new breed, you know. I'm a little bit more technical on the feet, a little bit more than that, you know, but more things. And like also about Pantoja and myself is just, I'm dangerous everywhere, man. You could put me on my back, I'll submit somebody. I'm just as dangerous on my back than on top of you, than on the feet. You know, I'm dangerous everywhere. And I go into constant kill mode. And that's what makes me the most that's what makes me super dangerous and one of the more dangerous flyweights in this division. But that's also what kind of leads to some of my losses too. So just finding that fine balance of all this stuff is really what's key to having a great 2022 for me.
where would you rank the flyweights right now? I think a lot of love always goes to the lightweights because it's led by McGregor for a while, Habib, Poirier. Those are really, really popular figures in our sport. The heavyweights will always get love because they're the big cats, you know, one punch and it could all end, even if it's a sloppy punch. But I'm telling you, bantamweights to me have been really, really exciting the last few years, and not just in the UFC. There's some good ones over at Bellator as well. And I wanted to ask you, where do you feel the flyweights stand? Because the flyweights are killers too, and that division almost went away, and I disagreed with that when it almost went away. I'm glad it stayed, and I'm glad fighters like you are leading the way back. But where do they stand, do you think?
And I disagree with me if you don't think so. But I think the flyweight division's the best it's ever been. You know, I don't know where we stand compared to the crowd. Like, lightweight division's sick. Flyweight division, it's hard because not too many grown men can make 125, you know. So I think you get, like, a less denser weight class. But as far as right now in the flyweight division goes, it's the most exciting it's ever been. There's more killers in there than there's ever been, more exciting fighters than there's ever been. And your boy is the most exciting fighter and the biggest killer of them all. I just want to let you know all that. So just to get out there.
Well, I want to give you the most honest answer I can. And I partly agree. There are some exciting athletes. I think Figgy, yourself, Marino, you guys are just like, it's like superheroes, Spider-Man fighting, you know, Batman or whatever in there, because you guys are so fast and you can go from the ground to stand up and then back to the ground, and it's all so seamless. However, I think what still might lack a little bit is that star power that Demetrius Johnson had when he was so unstoppable, plus Henry Cejudo with the gold medal and Benavidez who had put in so much time. You guys are almost there, but I think you're going to overtake them because, like I say, there's that new crew is right there, but those guys were established. So it's pretty close, man. You really made me think on that one.
I think Moreno's becoming a star, man. Like, he's a star between a lot of different crowds, and I think Moreno's a good leader right now, and I think he'd be good for the division if he retains his title and all that. It sucks Cody Garbrandt lost that fight because that could have been big for the division. But yeah, I mean, it's been probably the biggest it's ever been in the eyes of, like, all around who's just killers in there. But as far as, like, Cejudo and Mighty Mouse and just average people knowing them, I don't know, man. And I don't know if I think Moreno kind of might fill in that gap, but I don't know if it takes around the overall popularity of it and what Mighty Mouse did for the division, you know, specifically.
Yeah. I think, like I said, the future's bright, and I've made this comparison for a while now, but in boxing, you know, that's the 125 is a division where Floyd originally started at, where Manny Pacquiao originally started at, where Julio Cesar Chavez, you know, before they came welterweights and super welterweights or junior middleweights or whatever, they were down there. You know, they were down there in boxing's featherweight division or bantamweight division. So 118, 125, 130. And you know, they kind of carried boxing for a while. And I think that's what 25 and 35 is going to do for the UFC. They're kind of doing it in a way just with the excitement.
Yeah. And I think some of these kids that are coming up, man, I've been watching all the up and comers. There's some studs coming in, man. So that's why it's important for me to get in and get the fuck out as soon as possible. Because I've been doing it since they can walk, come in this division. And that's happening. You know, these guys are well-rounded Olympic wrestling backgrounds that are pulling guard and shit, you know, so got to watch out for this division. It's growing. And like I said, we don't have gravity holding us down, man. The crazy shit's going to happen. I've seen some crazy, you see Mighty Mouse pick someone up and armbar him, you know, I've like one leg.
That was amazing.
Kick somebody in the head, you know, like our division's sweet. Jimmy Flick jumped a triangle. Like, we haven't been around and there's not that many people in our division, but they're all making waves, you know?
By the way, did you just hint that you might be one of the guys that just doesn't stick around the sport for a while? Like, you're 29, I believe. I'd love to see you compete to at least 35.
Yeah, definitely not 35. At least I don't think so. I don't want to compete that long. I want to coach. I want to do a bunch of things in life, man. I've given this my whole entire focus for the last 12 years for sure. So it's just like, I sacrificed a lot for the sport, and it's like, I've missed a lot of like a normal life. And it's like, I'm so close to making the actual dream come true. And it's like, once that happens, it's like, yeah, I want to live a good life. I want to live a bunch of different lives. You know what I'm saying? I want to do a million different things. And it's like, I don't know. I also just don't want to be those guys that overstay my welcome. I don't want to be here getting clowned on for the rest of my life and having head damage. It's like, I've been in the sport for way too long. I've had three surgeries, all shoulder surgeries, but it's like, I was sparring back in the days when there was no pulling back punches. You know, I was 16 years old in a grown man gym where people were getting knocked out every day. And it's like, I don't know the consequences of it right now. And I don't know what it is, but it's like, I want to avoid it at all costs. And it's like, it's changed like how smart I've been training, but it's also just like, it's something I'm weary of, you know? And it's like, you see all these studies, and it's like, I just want to be ahead of the curve, and I don't want to be one of those guys that are getting knocked around for the rest of my life, you know?
There can't be a fan that disagrees with you. A hardcore fan of the sport, as much as it might suck, because we love watching you compete, we can respect an answer like that. So go make the most of it. I know I'm going to make the most out of enjoying every fight that, you know, while you're around and competing at this high level, man. Seriously, much respect. You got some skills in there, and I can't wait to see you compete on January 15th.
Yeah, I can't wait to put on a performance for you guys, man. I think I'm going to break out something a little different, and I'm excited to put it on. Big thank you to EAP Sport, EAP Glass, man. They are my biggest sponsor and the best sponsor I've ever had. So Colorado EAP Glass, if you guys are in here, the best glass company in all Denver.
Nice. All right, I love that shout-out. And by the way, Brandon and I went with the look today. I went with the hoodie. I want to give a shout-out to Adidas in case they're listening. Your boy, man, you know, double XL, send me some stuff.
I have huge ears, so you got to hide them at all times. So me and him decided to hide the ears so I don't get roasted.
And I got two chins, so I got to hide that with the beard and this hoodie. So there you go. Where we in one way or another, we're hiding something. Thanks, brother, for the time tonight. We really appreciate it.
All right, you too. I appreciate you, brother. Have a good night.
You know, for a second there goes, I thought maybe I may have been hitting them a little too much with the first couple questions, dealing with adversity, the losses. I really like the guy, but I wanted to kind of, I don't know, give him a pat on the back and say, hey, you know, despite the fact that you're working off a couple losses, you really seem like you're in a good frame of mind going into this fight.
Yeah, in the last, like, 10 years, there's been this new description for people that I think kind of hits home with Brandon. He's just one of those guys that falls under the category of he seems to just get it. Like, he gets it. You know what I mean? So, like, he's the type of guy that you can say those types of things, and he understands who he is, the position he's in, and what he's got to do. He's got a good head on his shoulder, and he's fun to watch. And like he said, like I might disagree with him a little bit in the sense that I don't know that one win gets him the loser of that championship fight. It could, but he's definitely not that far away.
Right. Well, Askarov. He's been booked against Kaikar France. I'm led to believe that Pantoja is already either the sub for Figgy and Marino, or he'll just get next versus Figgy and Marino. And let's not forget, he's beaten Marino. So it kind of makes sense. And so the winner would get Pantoja. The loser, for him to be plotting to fight the loser if he wins, that's not a bad idea, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Things got to play out.
Yeah. They do, and I kind of want to tip my hat. I mean, he's already forecasting that he might not be in the sport as long as people think, but he backed up his reasons.
Mm-hmm. I like that fighters are actually, that they have that type of mentality, and hopefully he's doing something in his life that, I mean, he mentioned coaching. That's definitely something, at least till he's going to stay within the sport, but I've been noticing fighters have been investing their money a little better now, and that, I mean, you're right. You don't want to be one of those guys that overstay their welcome, is what I think he said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's blast through some news nuggets. I'm just going to throw something out there, and you just give me some quick thoughts, all right? Priscilla Cachoeira, the lady that I gouged in her last fight, her manager, the legend, the BJJ legend that is Waleed Ismail. I mean, that's an NHB legend, I really should say. He's an old school guy. So she lost to Jillian Robertson, but in the process of getting tapped out, she was trying to thumb her in the eye. And so the manager's trying to clean it up. Joe Rogan's been very active about the fact that he didn't like it at all, and that she should maybe be cut. Where does Ghost sit?
I agree with Joe. I thought it was pretty blatant. I mean, if you just do it now with your own thumb, like, you can feel what you're doing. You know what an eyeball feels like. You can feel that. I thought it was all wrong. And If they don't cut her, they definitely have to make an example out of her somehow.
Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. It sounds like it's in the works. Are you in? Do you approve of this one?
I like it. I really like this fight. If you look at the people that they've lost to, they have two fighters in common, and that's the current champ in Charles Oliveira, right? And Justin Gaethje, the guy who's going to be fighting for the title. So, like, yeah, one of them's on a two-fight losing streak. The other one's on a three-fight. But just look at some of those names, man. Those are beasts. The winner of this fight, or the loser of this fight, is in big trouble, though. Not as far as being cut, because who doesn't ever want to tune in to watch Tony Ferguson? Who doesn't want to tune in and watch Michael Chandler? More so, if you want to be ever in the title picture ever again, this is going to be very pivotal. You can't take a loss here.
Okay, I agree. It sounds like David Feldman, the president of BKFC, is just going to let them bang, bro. Julian Lane versus Mike Perry. They had that little incident. And it looks like Feldman senses the hot ticket. You like this matchup? Will you tune in to Knuckle Mania 2?
So I actually signed up for the app. It's not that much. I know it's under 10 bucks. It's like 10 bucks a month or something like that. But you get all their cards, right? They run two cards a month, and, you know, great. If they only do one, I still think it's worth it. But yeah, Knuckle Mania, I'm down, man. I have fun watching BKFC, and this fight in particular is going to have some heat going in. And these are two guys that are actually pretty good at that sport.
And finally, you kind of heard both sides of this whole Ngannou gate, we'll call it. He's walking through the tunnels there at a recent UFC. His former partner and former coach, that would be Ciryl Gane, future opponent and former partner, and Ferdinand Lopez are there. No pleasantries were exchanged. Eric Nixick feels like, well, it was just some editing and it really didn't play out like that. You heard the interview with Fatah Hanoun and Ferdinand Lopez. Is this just a little side plot that everyone's talking about that's really not big of a deal? Or do you think there was a little bit of a personal shun there?
I think there was a little bit of a personal shun. I really don't get the situation too much, man, because both guys seem so out of character only when it comes to each other. It's so weird, but that kind of makes the fight more interesting. It's going to be a fun fight, but that is, I'm telling you, man, I love Francis Ngannou. I think he's a badass, but stylistically, Ciryl Gane is a problem. So that's something that they definitely have to address strategy wise. But that fight to me is a little bit more interesting, I think, than people give it credit.
We'll finish with some good news and bad news. Joaquin Buckley versus Abdul Razak Al-Hassan has been scrapped. Those two guys are flashy and explosive, and I really wanted to see them bang. And on the good end, it sounds like Bellator is also close to booking. We heard Kat Zingano versus Chris Cyborg, but another title fight that they had in women's MMA is looking very likely in April, and that would be Juliana Velasquez defending against longtime veteran of the sport, Liz Carmouche. So even Bellator is starting to lay out their plans. Of course, they start off on January 29th, I believe, in Phoenix, Arizona, with Ryan Bader, the local guy, defending his belt against Valentin Moldovsky.
That's a big fight, because really that kind of has a little bit of play when it comes to Fedor Emelianenko's last fight. So we'll see what happens there.
That's right. Fedor wants Bader if he wins, right?
Right.
Okay. And the reason, I guess, that he wouldn't want Moldovsky is because he's a Russian. He's a teammate.
Probably that. And I think Fedor just kind of wants that one back too.
Yeah. All right, folks. So listen, we are going to get on out of here. Thank you so much, as always, for your support. And I know that on Sunday we'll have a guest, but now we'll lay out some extra time to get through these awards and kind of give our little spin on what we feel, you know, should have been the awards. I think we're going to agree with most of the junkie staff, to tell you the truth. But there was a couple where I was on one side and the writer chose something else, and that's fine. We're not always going to agree, but that'll be fun to do. The show starts, the fighting, you know, the proverbial show starts on January 15th with the UFC Fight Night. And then after that, we have a pay-per-view in which Goz and I will do a watch-along. And then it's off and running, man. We're not going to have too many more of these quiet weeks. thank you so much for your support. And again, happy holidays. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Go out there and be a champion.